Good morning from Texas Linux Fest. Here we are in Austin, Texas at the Palmer Event Center getting set up for day one. It's all Kubernetes today. It's all very Kubernetes. The Texas Linux Fest is the only Linux Fest in Texas at all. This is the one. There's no other Texas. It's a huge state, and there's no other Texas Linux Fest. This is the one. It's been in a few places this year. It's back in Austin, Texas at the Palmer Event Center, which is fantastic. Of course, it joins Scale and Ohio Linux Fest and Linux Fest Northwest, a growing list of regional shows, and it's nice to see another one coming back after some hiatus. And so the weekend is geared at individual users and people here to learn rather than, say, like large vendors. And we're here in the expo hall, the front and center booth, on a big naked table. We went for a real minimal look, It was totally intentional. And Brent's getting set up. You got headphones, too? Good. Good. Wes is here.
Hello.
Hey, Wes.
Yeah, keynote this morning, and then now folks are wandering over to the expo hall.
Yeah.
I think we're still waking up, though, early.
As we do, because it is 2 hours ahead for us, right?
Yeah.
And not only that, but we came from the gloomy Pacific Northwest. Today it's a high of 80 degrees. It's going to be real roasty, and then it just gets warmer while we're here. So, but we've already snuck in a little bit of a barbecue break, as you would expect.
I wish I was still full of barbecue, but I am not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, would it be fun for us to try to set up a Kubernetes cluster sometime just because we, you know, don't know what we're doing?
Yeah. That would be embarrassing.
I mean, I've set them up before, but it's been a long time.
It'd be embarrassing is what it would be. It'd be very embarrassing. So we have a chat room going over at jblive.fm if you want to join us in over there. There's a lot going on in the Matrix chat room right now that has nothing to do with the live stream.
That does add some points to separate live stream.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
All right, let's get this chat started.
Yeah, get it started. Get it cooking, Wes. Get it going. Brent's taking selfies.
That's our man, Brent.
And I'm trying to make a really stupid face in the... Wait, take a serious one. I was flipping him off on that one.
Chris is being a jackass.
I thought, you know, I'd do one. All right. You know, you gotta, when you're in Texas. All right, good. Thank you. You know, one serious, one not serious. That's good.
All right, well, how do you... Okay, well, you're so-so on Kubernetes, but how do you feel about WebAssembly?
Oh, actually, a little more bullish these days.
Because coming up in 8 minutes, there's a talk, Closing the Gap, Extending Kubernetes from Cloud to the Edge,
you know,
with WebAssembly.
You've been talking about that gap for a while.
I have.
You always are going on about the gap.
Sure, so right? Everyone's all up in the cloud, but
you wanna
how much
make
edge
sure,
you got?
Yeah, and you want to make sure you close that gap. So that's interesting, Wes. Thanks
I guess
for
with
that.
WebAssembly.
Yeah.
That's what you stuff in the gap.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of like plaque, you know, when you have to, like, on the wall. What is that called? Hey, Brent, on drywall, when you got to, like, cover up a hole, what's that called? What's that material? It's like a putty, but what's it called?
We call it mud.
Mud? Okay. So it's like WebAssembly is like the mud.
The drywall mud
yeah,
of it's the like Kubernetes the, world?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thank you. That's what I was trying to get. Unit testing in Python.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's tomorrow.
Although, hot take, write more integration tests, you know?
We missed the game night at the 1UP Lounge last night. Dang it.
Oh.
Oh, wait, I'm looking at Linux Fest Northwest.
What?
I'm like, they have a 1UP Lounge down here? That's what I was... Too many Linux Fest.
Well, yeah, I missed that also, but...
Yeah, well, we should go to that. But we were actually after-partying ourselves. Our flight got slightly delayed, so we came in a little late last night.
It is funny. So we're flying from Seattle... And just watching the flight progress, a surprising amount of the flight is just getting over Texas.
Yeah. For real, dude. Oh, wow. Look at this schedule. There's a lot going on here. So after lunch, it looks like there's a Red Hat Enterprise Linux Security Technologies workshop.
Oh.
Interesting. I'd like to know more about that.
Can we finally get you a RHEL certified? Can we take the test live on the air, though?
In this workshop, you'll learn about two of the many security-related features included in Red Hat Linux. terminal session recording and system-wide cryptograph policy. Both of these features were introduced in Red Hat Enterprise Linux 8.
Don't know that I've tried either of those.
Fountain shows live but ended. How can it show both? Both at the same time?
I'm confused.
That'll be interesting. Security talk I'm always down for. A lot. Today is very Kubernetes heavy. Oh, David Stokes has a Postgres for MySQL DBAs at 4:30.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Postgres is, it's just such a great database.
He needs to have a Postgres for people who already love Postgres, and then Wes could go to that one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You don't need to sell me. I don't deploy MySQL. I mean, it's fine. It's a fine database.
Lunch runs from 12 p.m. to 1:30, so it's a little bit longer lunch, but is it long enough for Texas?
Right.
I don't know about that.
Because, I mean, there are some food options nearby for sure, but, like, and it seems like it's decently walkable, but it's still very, big. It's still big blocks.
And they're very busy.
Right.
They all are very busy. So, you know.
Probably need 2 hours. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Maybe that's just the rest of the day is lunch.
Or could you just park some food trucks inside this giant expo room?
Oh, yeah, you could.
You know?
Yeah, you could.
Stink it up, but.
I would love that. I would love that.
Okay, well, I don't think anything's wrong with the live item element.
We should get Joseph to join us.
Sure, sure.
He came here just to see us. It's his first fest.
Oh, what? Okay. We'll get him to sit down.
That's wild.
His first fest. Welcome in. There's some headphones there for you so you can hear all the entertainment, all the excitement.
Bubble wobble worries.
Yeah, stuff like that. And then you got a microphone there. Say hello to us. Now, I don't hear you. Oh, there you go. Now say hello to us.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, now we hear you.
Welcome to Texas.
Thank you. Are you a local?
I am.
But this is your first?
First fest, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Well, it hasn't been going for super long here, right? It's the third or fourth? So, I guess you haven't missed it for that long.
It's my first Texas Linux Fest, and Brent's.
And then the pandemic didn't help either, so
yeah.
We were off a few years.
Yeah.
I asked Joseph, hey, you know, what do you want to see? It's your first fest. What do you want to see while you're here? And he's like, well, I just came here to see you guys.
That makes it easy. You don't have to deal with the conference schedule as much.
We didn't bring any logos, so I feel bad about that. You know, we'd like to be splashy.
It's our sparse look, 2024. Sparse.
We actually thought we were sharing the booth.
Mm.
But, you know, we other people can bring their stickers, and we can, you know, just graffiti it with people's swag that they can give away.
Yeah, if you're in the area and coming back tomorrow, bring your...
Yeah.
Bring your JB shirts.
Hey, you got extra swag? Drop it off.
This is the reverse swag giveaway. You bring us swag.
It's like a swag potluck.
Yeah. Or a swag buyback.
Yeah.
We're boosting our swag price by buying off the available supply.
So just drop it off and, yeah.
Hey, Neil.
Hi, Neil. Neil just walks by. He just walks by. He's big time, though, so he doesn't say hi.
No.
So it's all right.
Fedora needs something. I don't know.
You know, he walked up to our booth earlier and his fly was down.
And you, as a gentleman,
just
told him,
say
hello.
That on the whole air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. There. Hello. Wes, Chris, and Brent, we're setting up. We're doing a live stream of the fest today.
How's it going for you?
Yeah, we're podcasting. Well, we're not really podcasting anything in particular. You, right now?
Yeah, right. Jupiter Broadcasting.
Yeah. Yeah, as you can see by our big logo.
Linux Unplugged as well.
Do you have duct tape? I can make a logo.
We should just handwrite a logo and just tape it up there because it's embarrassing. It really is so bad. Yeah.
Austin,
yeah, welcome in.
Same day, printing.
If you want to tune in later and see what's going on, it's like when you go to a sporting event and you want to listen to the play-by-play, it's jblive.fm. You can go do that. So as we set up right now, so the way it works here is 9 a.m. was the keynote, and everybody comes in, they give a keynote, then after the keynote's done, there's like a fest powwow where the fest folks kind of explain the structure of what's happening today, and then everybody breaks, they open up the expo hall, so we got here about 40 minutes before the keynote finished, and all of the vendors were here just scrambling, setting up. Like, nobody was set up. But within 40 minutes, just about everybody, including us, got set up. You could probably go around and get stories of technical difficulties they all had to work through.
Power was the first one.
Yeah, no doubt. Power was the first one. Brent immediately put the charm on, though, and made sure we had power figured out.
Well, yeah, that's why you bring your token Canadian, right?
Yeah, that's true.
No one can say no to a Canadian.
So Brent flew right to SeaTac and stayed at a hotel the night before we came down, and that worked pretty well. I mean, we missed you.
Well, I don't like doing that because I much prefer to hang out with you guys.
Sure.
But I was doing the math, and, you know, I didn't book this trip very efficiently, and what I mean by that is, like, the day before I booked it. And So my options were to do my usual, which is to fly to Vancouver and take the train down and hang out with you guys in the evening and stuff. But that train was going to show up at 9:30 p.m. And I thought, well, that doesn't give us actually that much time to hang out. And then I'm just going to have to, in the morning, get up super early and be in the car with you guys. So, so maybe I could just fly to Seattle proper near the airport, stay near the airport, and get a few extra hours of sleep.
Right. Screw those guys.
Yeah, screw you guys.
Screw those guys. Don't even want to hang out with them anyway.
It was the right choice, I will say.
Yeah, I think it worked out.
Because with the time zone change, I actually got an extra hour of sleep.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, good. It's very nice. That makes sense. That makes sense. So we left home around 7 a.m. Of course, if you leave 7 a.m. in the Seattle area, it's traffic all the way down. And then we got to the airport, and we were waiting for Wes to meet up with us at the African Lounge or whatever it was. On the other side of security. And so we're sitting there, you know, just snacking and chatting as Wes walks up. And Wes informs us that our flight has been delayed. Like, what?
I'm in the know.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean the flight's been delayed? Oh. So what do we get up so early for?
Right.
And then, of course, we already had plans the evening of here in Austin. So then I had to contact people and let them know, hey, we're going to be running late. Our flight's been delayed. I'm sorry.
That's
too bad. Push back dinner.
Yeah. So I don't really know. But last minute, did that thing. I don't know if you guys do this when you travel. Is like, I'm like, well, I should probably grab some media just in case I want to watch something. Yeah. So last minute, I went and grabbed Scott Pilgrim Saves the World. Have you seen this?
I have not.
I don't even know about this.
The movie or the TV show?
The movie. So I haven't seen it yet either. And then I also grabbed Mastering Commander Far Side of the World.
Wait.
A little bit different tones.
Yeah.
How are you choosing these things?
Well, I thought...
Because if
I don't want to watch Scott Pilgrim, I'm probably in a totally different mood. And if I'm in a totally different mood, maybe I'm in the mood for Master and Commander.
And what did you end up watching?
Neither. We watched Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations, whole flight, with no audio. It was just Brent and I watching it on my screen.
Yeah, but we were commenting the whole time so everyone could get really super annoyed at us.
And then like every now and then gasping when something would happen. But, you know, the whole 3-hour flight watching one show with no audio, it's a great way to break down like the cinematography and, you know, like a lot of the logistics.
You're not so much watching the content as just understanding the production process.
Yeah, although some good content, even without the audio. And I think that tells you it holds up.
Really good visuals
holds
in some
up.
Cases.
Yeah, yeah. So that was good. It's the first time I've ever seen that, so I'm going to be following up on that. Hello.
Feel like
are you guys Sinary? Hello.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, well, come in.
Come on in. We've taken over.
I feel like they've made a whole TV show just for people doing commentary, watching other content. So you guys are right there.
You're right. That's true. Yeah, we could have recorded it. Oh, I can see. No, I have some notes here. Oh, the security lines. Yes, I have notes. Oh. So, I have a story I want to share.
But the story person is currently occupied.
Yeah.
Because he's being friendly like he does.
So, what's going on over here
we
today?
We are.
This is Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
good
people to boot.
Chris and Wes, all right.
Hello, guys. Doing a live stream.
Alrighty.
So
Joseph.
We show up in security. Yeah, and we should when you guys are around, we rotate on the mic and we can chat.
Oh yeah. So
we show up and it's a long line. It's about a 25-minute wait in security. And while we're in like the second loop of the line, Brent shows up and he's in the other line and we pass each other like 3 or 4 times as we're snaking through the line. And on the last time we pass each other, Brent has changed in line. So he's like taken off his top layers. He's put on like a mask and he walks up to me and it's like this stranger who I was looking for Brent in one outfit and it's a different person in a different outfit, hands me this bundle wrapped in a brown paper bag. And I'm like, I'm getting handled a bundle of something in the line at security.
That's not suspicious.
In a totally like kind of like just here, let me pass this to you. And then I look up and realize it's Brent. So I say, you know, what the hell is this? And Brent
sneaky
says,
Canadian.
It's breakfast food. I'm like, what? Yeah, it's this bag full of breakfast. Like he hoarded a bunch of free stuff from the hotel and stuff that he can't even eat, you know, but he just like grabbed it to have it. And so he passes us this bag. I'm like, okay, well, there's like a Nutri-Grain bar in here or something, so I'll eat that. And we get up to security and we're still holding. I thought I'd hand it back to him, like one more snake round. Never snaked around where we saw him again. So we end up at security with the bag full of food.
Uh-oh.
Well, guess is what is full of stuff that isn't allowed through security. So that gets us flagged. So we get flagged for that. Then my audio bag always gets us flagged. I don't normally unpack it, but this time they really got mad. So they dumped out all my audio gear and ran it through the scanner again, just completely scattered everywhere. And then they always pull my wife's bag over because she has insulin, and so there's a liquid in there, and so I always have to like go through her stuff. So every single bag basically got flagged. I had to go through security. Brent's stuff got flagged for a different reason. So it was quite the journey through security, but I think for you it was smooth.
It was a breeze, yeah. I had the old TSA pre-check, so that helped. And then, you know, I was expecting my microphone to get, you know, some interest and taken out, and that's fine. I had it right on the top of the bag and all that. And I could see them chatting about it, you know, because you can see it shows up real well on the images. So you can really tell, you're like, oh, yep, that's my bag. That's my bag right there. I think maybe they were, because some of the agents seem to know a little, you know, have seen people going through with audio equipment, and it seemed like someone came over and was like, oh, you know, weren't concerned about it. So they didn't even open the bag.
Yeah, they were mad that I didn't take the mixer out because it's an electronic larger than a phone. I've never taken the mixer out. I've never taken it out. I've always left it in there, and I think I should, but if you can imagine what it's like to pack all this stuff, to take this out, it's like you're pulling out 100 individual little components. It's not a small thing, so I try to avoid it.
But I can sympathize with you a little bit. The last time I flew, which was to Vegas when I was coming back, I had a laptop charger in my bag, a phone charger, you know, the usual, and they were like being cautious. It's like, so it took forever for me to get through, and it was like, and then the guy couldn't figure out that my backpack had extra zippers.
Oh.
So he couldn't get to the compartment where he was wanting to find things. So I'm like trying to gesture to him where he needed to go without touching anything.
Yeah. Well, those extra zippers might be hiding bombs. Yeah. You know, so got to scan that. Yeah, the microphones look weird. The cables all spooled up always look really weird, like we're wiring something up.
Gentlemen, there's a group photo being taken behind us here. Oh. So I think maybe we want to.
I didn't know we were so famous. We'll get the autographs later. Yeah, okay.
Wait, I want to flip it off. That's my thing now. That's what I'm doing while I'm in Texas. I'm flipping off in every selfie. In every selfie, I'm going to flip the bird. Why not?
So far, you're like one for one.
I know. Well, I just missed that one.
No.
So I'm not. But so, yes, our flight was delayed, which is fine. Gave us time to hang.
On a technical note, if the person taking the photo is not in the photo, it's not technically a selfie.
Oh.
So you're still good.
Still one for one.
You're right. You're right. It was not a selfie, technically. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a professionally produced photo in comparison.
So we finally arrived to Austin. We make a beeline to Terry Black's. It was the first thing we did.
First thing from
it was the first thing I wanted to see.
It was the very first thing we got here, and we were supposed to go to the Airbnb first and kind of get rid of the bags and do the, you know, the reasonable thing, do the right thing and just get rid of everything and then go out to eat. But because we'd been delayed, we were hungry. You know, we got hungry, and
you know, this sort of hunger really only a brisket can cure.
Yeah.
Well, you see, Chris and I had been watching a food show the entire flight.
Legit, you guys, it made us hungry. It really did.
Well, there were some parts that less so, but for the most part, yeah.
Some Yeah, you mean you didn't enjoy, like, the blood sausage? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. It wasn't so much the cooked version, but it was the making of.
Yeah. The making of was pretty rough. There were a couple things like that that were a little rough.
The squirrel, like, jacket removal wasn't exactly my thing.
Is that what you call it?
No, that was the kindest way I can think of calling it.
All right, so yeah, we arrive at Terry Black's, and the line was, well, it was long.
We've been in Austin for less than an hour, and where are we, West Payne?
Terry Black's Barbecue.
That's right, Terry Black's Barbecue. And Brent is looking at the meat menu. Will he buy meat? Will he not?
I see pinto beans.
So are you going to admit what you did or not, or are we just going to move right on? You want to just move on?
We could talk about it. I'm ready.
You broke your no-meat rule for Terry Black's.
Well, it's that for the last 3 years you've been talking about Terry Black's. Like, it's this, like, the only reason to come to Texas. So I thought maybe I should probably have this experience.
That's always what I say. I always say it's the only reason to come.
Yeah, you got that T-shirt that you wear all the time.
The only Terry Black's T-shirt?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
It's like Food Chain Rela. Yeah.
So describe Terry Black's if you could, like the venue, the vibe, the crowd.
Wow. Okay. Well, it is like a pretty cool venue, large inside. It's kind of like, tons of wood, so it has like a rustic feel to it. But really, it has double the amount of capacity outside. So there's a bunch of like patio space outside, which is really cool. But really, you don't even get to that for the first 20 minutes because you're actually standing in line waiting to get in the place, because at least when we went yesterday, it was packed. I don't know, a couple hundred people at least trying to get into this place.
But like a good Texas venue, they had a bar where you could order drinks,
yeah,
you know, partway through the line. So yeah, you could get your brewski while you're waiting in line.
And it's brilliant because they start the line near where all the smokers are. So you kind of get a mini self-guided tour.
Yeah, of not the people smoking, but the meat that's being smoked. Right. Yeah, and you get a little, you know.
Oh.
Little.
They make you hungry in that lineup.
Olfactory preview of what you're about to get into. Yeah, so you snake your way through yet another line. So we queued some more today, or yesterday. And then you get inside this place, and it is 100 miles per hour.
I was really... So if you've seen Seinfeld, where... Soup Nazi, you got to like have your order ready. It was like that. I was really anxious. I didn't order all the things I wanted because I was just like, I just got to finish this process because I'm feeling really like I'm the hot, you know.
Yeah, because they really like, sir, move. What do you need? You know, they really, because, you know, can you imagine to them, they're trying to serve 200 more people before they close. So I get it. But you really got to go in with like, this is what I want. This is what I'm here to get.
I thought they did a marvelous job of like preparing you throughout the lineup.
Yeah.
Like Wes and I had a moment where we were like, well, we don't quite know how this works. And I'm chatting with him and he looks above my head and there's this massive sign that says how it works. And I thought that was the perfect moment.
Yeah. It's sort of funny. Yeah. And it's okay. How was it? Was it worth the breaking the no meat rule? Would you do it again if we went today?
Okay. No meat rule. I will say yes.
Good. I'm glad.
Because this wasn't just like a hamburger at McDonald's or something. This you know, the most well-treated meat.
A specialty item made by professionals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a flavor palette that I will remember for a long time. You know, it's not just some throwaway experience. So,
I mean, a fresh brisket was sliced right in front of you.
And then it just fell apart as it traveled to my plate because it was so,
so tender. Oh, you're making me hungry. All right, so that's good. All right, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you don't regret it.
Yeah, to answer your second question, would I go back today? I think I would, but I would try completely different things. Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I asked you what is the one thing you should get here.
Yeah, if you're only going to get one thing, yeah. I really want the pork ribs. I really want to go back for that. The sides are mediocre. You know, they're mediocre. Is that from Terry Black's right there?
Yeah, it is.
He brought some Terry Black's with him. Amazing.
I'll get a t-shirt soon.
You should get a t-shirt.
I don't know. I was thinking this morning, like, why didn't I get some to go?
Well, that would have been the smart thing. After sitting in the lineup for so long, that would be, you know, just load me up, right?
Yeah. So here we are at Texas Linux Fest. If you're just tuning in, welcome. We are live from the Palmer Event Center in Austin, Texas. We have an interesting setup here. You got room 1, room 2, room 3, room 4, room 5, and then exhibit hall. And that's where we are. We are in the exhibit hall. You can hear all the activity in the background. And then it's a two-level affair, so you can go upstairs and attend some of the talks in a more quieter, laid-back zone. Or you can come down here where it's all dynamic and active, and there's a lot going on. As we record right now, it is about 10 a.m. here locally, and so you have a bunch of Flippy's field guide to WASM.
I think you need that.
Yeah, I do.
Are you going to flip them too?
Yeah, well, why not? Get them at least building on Nick's. Ephemeral Environments, Redefining Pre-Production by Natalie Lundbeck. Also, Cross-Plane Platform Engineers by Steve Borelli, which is an extension to Kubernetes, a big Kubernetes day today. Big Kubernetes. Shane is doing the past and present of future gateway APIs.
Right, I know there's been a lot of gateway API stuff recently.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ingress is important.
There's also a session about 5G testing and stuff.
That does sound interesting.
Yeah.
5G core testing with the CNF test suite.
Yeah, how about that? That's interesting. All right, so nothing like that's screaming at me, so this today is a good day
to be. Later today.
Yeah.
Bash programming. Oh, hey, it's an Alex.
You can get a lot done. Hello, Alex. You can get a lot done with Bash. You can get a lot done. We also have smart contract-driven developments, like a blockchain one.
Really?
Yeah, that one's a sponsored one. So I don't know about that, but yeah, smart contract-driven development.
Okay.
All right. All right. I don't know.
The workshop offers a unique setup where gig workers and startups can interact and learn through role-play scenarios, mirroring real-life challenges.
Hey, that sounds neat.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, it kicks off with a keynote, How Not to Get Into Tech, is the name of the keynote by Anita.
Okay.
And through a series of happenstances, Anita is now the manager at the Linux umbrella family of Teams. Come listen to loosely coupled vignettes about her experience with computers, engineering, and management.
There's some fun stories there.
Yeah, we may be trying out the mobile setup for that when we cover the keynote tomorrow, depending on if we get here in time. And then, so that'll be the keynote tomorrow at 9 a.m. in the exhibit hall, and then it kicks off at 10 a.m. in the other rooms, and all the other rooms are packed up until lunchtime. And we have a generous lunch tomorrow. Then we come back, and we're just packed up again. Hey, Carl's giving a talk, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the RHEL Ecosystem.
Oh, but that's going to be a good one.
Neil's giving a talk, Bringing Fedora Linux to Apple Silicon Macs with Asahi Linux. Major Hayden is giving a talk, Automated Container Updates with GitHub and Core OS. Our very own Alex is giving a talk about accessing self-hosted services securely from anywhere. I bet that's using Tailscale. Frank from...
No, man, it's OpenVPN. What are you talking about?
Frank from Nextcloud will be here. What the AI revolution means for open source, open tech, and open society. It's a busy day tomorrow. Major Hayden's giving a couple of talks tomorrow.
I noticed that. Some interesting ones, though.
Thomas Cameron's back. We featured him before on the show. Enterprise Automation with AWX, which is the upstream for the Ansible automation platform.
Okay, check this one out. David Duncan, tomorrow morning.
Building Fedora KDE images for use in public cloud providers?
Yeah. Fedora KDE in the cloud.
KDE.
So is this like a desktop cloud image, right? That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that? This talk outlines the use of popular... And we're going to mute Brent. This talk outlines the use of popular projects. The popular project Kiwi, to build images the same way that they're building in Fedora Cloud Edition. But then it takes a step further than the base image and identifies the process we use to build and test cloud images that includes all of the necessary components to run the KDE desktop from a public cloud provider, in this case, EC2.
You know, Plasma 6 on like a little Fedora box in the cloud?
You could do a lot with that.
We could run Cloud OBS on that.
We have always wanted to do that. That has been a long time goal. Oh, maybe it would. Maybe. Do they offer GPUs for ECS? Like desktops?
That's a good question.
Do they pass that through? How does that work?
Yeah, you should be able to do a GPU on EC2.
Well, that's happening. Also happening while we're here, Ubuntu 24.04 beta is out.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I should give it a... I should have downloaded it last night. What am I doing? I'm going to just download it on conference Wi-Fi?
I did download it last night.
Okay.
So I might give it a go later today.
Uh-huh. I'll go get it myself.
Scott.
Noble Numbat. I'm a big fan of the release name, I
Me
have
too.
To say.
You're going to download it on conference Wi-Fi?
I'm going to try.
You madman.
Well, you know, so we were here getting the setup, and I guess, you know, we each get 3 megs to ourselves.
Yeah.
It's all segregated, so...
Shouldn't affect
you. It shouldn't matter for you.
So 24.04 beta came out a little bit late due to needing to rebuild the packages around XZ. So it's available now. Linux 6.8, GNOME 46, Wayland enhancements are in there. A fresh Mesa 24.0, which is a big deal because I think that means some improvements for the Intel Arc. GCC 13 compiler is in there. And the release date is targeted as April 25th.
Coming up quick.
Yeah.
We'll be distracted with Linux Fest.
Yeah, we will. Launched. That's always what happens. We will be distracted with Linux Fest as this one comes out.
Oh, I should have the ISO down in 4 hours and 30 minutes.
Ooh. That ain't great. That ain't great. Hey, like this. If we can, we might want to check out this building the KDE image thing.
Sound fun, yeah.
I wonder what tooling they're using for that.
Good question.
Yeah. We got quite a crowd around the booth now.
I'd be curious what their motivations are. You know, obviously the talk is about kind of the details, I'm sure, but, you know, where did it come from? Why are they doing it?
Why are they doing it, Wes? Why are they doing it? That's always the question. So also another bit of news that came out, and I wonder if you could break this down for us. It looks like an Apple engineer has submitted patches to Linux, potentially for Linux running VMs on macOS, but they've submitted patches to Linux to enable the Linux kernel to switch to what's called TSO mode for memory mapping, which is how Intel machines do it, which is one of the ways the Rosetta and Apple M platform can use can do the Intel emulation so effectively. And an Apple engineer has submitted patches that enable switching to that Intel memory map inside the M1 platform to the Linux kernel. It's notable because it's coming from Apple, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, someone on the mailing list even noted that themselves, you know, just, hi, it makes a nice change to see an Apple.com address on the mailing list.
Hector didn't really agree, though.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of, I think there's some confusion here, right? So we got this patch set from an engineer at Apple, it seems, and Hector was a little bit confused. Let's see here. I have the other thread open.
Yeah, there's two threads. Obviously, there's the original patch by the Apple engineer, but Hector wasn't included in that original thread.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Here's Hector's response. Well, this is unexpected, given I talked to Justin at Apple back in December, and I thought our plan was to work together on the series I've had cooking in the Asahi tree for a while now, which is actually shipping in thousands of Asahi Linux systems in production and actually already supported by the FEX EMU project with our ABI. You CC'd 30-plus people, but not me, nor the Asahi Atlas.
I mean, I understand. So Hector's a little frustrated because he's been working on this code already. He's already kind of had something. He's been chatting to some other people. And then it's one of those right-hand, left-hand, large corporation things. Some other engineer comes along and says, here's my version of the code patch. And Hector's like, I didn't even know about this. How come nobody told me? Don't you know I already have this working in this Asahi project? How come you're not interfacing with me? It's an understandable reaction, but it's the kind of reaction that an adult sits on for a couple of minutes, calms down, says, okay, this isn't about me. This is about the fact that Apple is now contributing code directly to the kernel that makes this work. Maybe I should be a little more appreciative and turn on the diplomacy setting. But we seem to be getting into a period of time where there's no requirement for the individual to tap the brakes about getting upset, and they can just kind of blast. And we've seen a couple of examples of that this week, but this is another one where it's kind of a big deal to have Apple contribute code to the Linux kernel.
Well, it's a really super positive big deal. And they would have loved that happening at the start of the Asahi program, right?
I think they were probably asking for it.
Right.
Yeah, so I understand where Hector's coming from, but I'm disappointed to see him. I mean, imagine an Apple, too. Like, it's a big deal internally for them to start contributing to a GPL project. For Apple, that's a big shift. And then to have it be the biggest GPL project, the Linux kernel, and to do it in a public, open way, which is not traditional for the way Apple develops.
And you can see how maybe they wouldn't, you know, maybe know to check. If they don't have a ton of experience organizationally interfacing with the kernel community,
good point.
How much are they internally following Asahi if they're not really using much of it or any of it, you know? So I can understand how they might have been like, well, yeah, look, we developed this. This is our hardware. We're trying to help, you know, make Linux VMs run really nicely on it. And you can imagine that the outcome could have been the same if Hector, he just toned it back a bit and you were just, you know, saying like, oh, hey, by the way, we've been working on this over here. Should we work together? Or should we compare these patch sets? And, you know, what's the best version going forward?
Yeah, or even, oh, this is great to see. I'll compare it to mine. Here's mine.
Let's work together.
Yeah, let's sort it out. And it wouldn't really probably even really register with me if it wasn't for the fact that the Asahi project kind of lives and dies at the will of Apple.
Yeah, for sure.
And that sucks. It definitely sucks. But that's the deal you signed up for when you decided to port Linux to a proprietary vendor platform.
You may as well build a relationship, right?
Exactly. And they finally submit and you're like basically give them a public FU. It seems like somebody didn't stop, go for a walk, and then come back. Right? Like, basic adulting didn't happen here, and as a result, we're kind of shitting all over this Apple engineer. I'm just disappointed to see it. I mean, it's not... I'm sure this engineer is probably going to be professional, unlike Hector is being in this circumstance, and probably, you know, respond in a measured, rational way. But, you know, if they were Hector, they would be at 11 right now, right? And they'd probably be tearing the guy up on Mastodon.
Today's show brought to you by just getting up and taking a walk.
Yeah, really. Just simmer down now. Simmer down now. Anyways, how are we feeling about the fest?
Well, so far I've seen this booth. Very little. And that's about it. Well, the people behind us, I think, are setting up a video game of some sort.
Ooh, that should
be. But I didn't see it. It wasn't ready. But we do have a congregation of people hanging out at our booth.
Yeah, absolutely. We do. It's great. It's nice. We got a little crowd. We got some stickers. Mr. Alex is here from Self-Hosted.
Do we have stickers?
Just those.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Because they're going fast.
I'm getting tired of carrying around the swag.
Mm.
And it's old swag at this point. And it's like, if it was new and current shows and updated shirts, it feels like that'd be worth it. But like carrying around the same old stuff, I'm just so bored with it.
We should really just ship swag to the event.
Yes.
We unpack the new sticker box.
Yes.
Here.
Yes. 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 We should just do an order of like 500 or something and send them here. If I'd brought the RV, I probably would have,
right.
Because you have a drawer just dedicated to swag in the RV, right?
Well, there's that rent space that we've cleared out that in the storage bay that we could, if you're not going to be on board, we could just throw it in there. And if you're on board, we could probably still make it fit because it's just stickers. So, you know, we have rent space in the storage. We could throw a few JB things in there.
You know, we've been getting some boosts for our live stream. That's nice to see.
Oh, thank you, everybody.
Yeah, GeoWiz came in with 10,000 sats to say thanks. Nice to have live coverage for those who can't attend. And then Remake and Eden boosted in with 5,000 sats. First time catching a live show. Hello from England.
Hello. Thank you very much.
Yeah, wonderful to have you.
We really do appreciate that.
Getting walk-by thumbs up from attendees.
Hey, I like a walk-by thumbs up. A walk-by thumbs up is good. I want to talk to Alex when he's free. I mean, just, you know, when he's not chatting with people over there, just flag him down.
All right.
And then we just do a little swappy swap when he's ready and swap a few people in. You're totally welcome, though, when nobody's swapping in. You could be our seat warmer if you want and keep us company. They do that at, like, the award shows and stuff.
Yeah, right.
There's, like, a whole gig around that.
They don't want the seats to look empty.
Right. We don't either.
You officially have the first JB swag that I've seen at the event.
Yeah, and that's also old. See, we really do need new shirts.
We'll get there. We need a community swag person.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just not getting to
it. Swag manager.
I just, like, at the end of the day, I'm not doing that. I'm going home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I would really love it for these kinds of things. And I actually would like some nice-looking shirts, too, that we could wear. Some, like, button-up shirts.
Something more than a t-shirt.
Crew shirts, yeah.
Yeah, crew shirts that are button-up and nice, that aren't just, you know, t-shirts for me, because I do not look good in a t-shirt. Unless I lost, you know, 50 pounds or 40 pounds or 30 pounds, and maybe, but not today. And that's just the way it goes. We have some people listening in the chat rooms over there. Hello, everybody. We got last-minute considerations to make. Oh, okay, that's Jeff. There, I'm getting more messages. Hello, Jeff, if you're listening, I'm getting your messages now.
We miss you.
Finally catching up. Has that been sorted?
Yeah.
We've sorted that?
Yeah, Alex is sorting that.
Very good. I am so looking forward to Linux Fest, too. We're going to got a big barbecue going. Here we go to the barbecue. At Linux Fest Northwest, we bring the barbecue. But that's appropriate.
That's why we're here, actually. We're studying barbecue.
Yes.
Here in its own land.
This is a yes. It would be embarrassing to do a barbecue here. It'd be embarrassing. We would beclown ourselves. Finally caught the live show. You guys rock. A row of ducks from Exception. Right? You think I got that right?
I hope your Exception handling's going well.
You need to use more of your radio voice. Like, there's a Exception.
Exception. You know, if I had the other one, I have, like, this cool button that I can press that makes my voice, you know, like, reverby and stuff.
Uh-huh. And then you got to get that.
Exception.
Exception, 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 Exception.
I think Wes is nailing it.
Yeah. Wes is our voice guy today.
The trick is don't get any sleep so your voice
sounds. Oh, my God. Like, I slept so bad, you guys. So, God bless my wife, love her. She thought it'd be great to help us gently wake up. And I didn't know she'd done this. So she set the blinds so they were intentionally blasting light down on the bed because she figured we're going to have a hard time waking up. You know, we're different time zone traveling. But we are in a well-established, well-lived-in. There's plenty of street lights. There's houses with lights. There's lots of light at night. And so all night long, right onto my face, like like, if you came in the room, it would look like I had, like, mood lighting on my face from, like, Star Trek.
Original series.
You know what I'm talking about. And on my face all night long, and I kept trying to toss and turn to get out of it, but I couldn't. And then every time I moved, the bed was like a waterbed in the way it waved and moved around. And then it's on these little tiny pegs that wobble, wobble, wobble every time I move.
What sound?
Ooh, wobble, wobble, wobble. You know? Oh, gosh. Not fun.
How was your bed there, Brent?
You know, mine looked brand new. It was great. I don't even remember falling asleep. You know, one of those nights?
You were on a collab.
How about you, Wes?
Not great.
What?
But serviceable.
Boost. Yeah, boost coming in from Bite Bitten.
Frame? I don't know.
100 sats from Bite Bitten.
Yeah.
Oh, nice to see you,
not
buddy.
Great beds. Also, a very, very mild mold smell in the shower.
Oh.
Otherwise, your shower looked nice.
Yeah. Yeah, the bathroom's probably one of the better bathrooms we've had. I don't know what to do with a his and her sink. Like, it's a lot.
Make a mess in both, I think.
That's it's a lot more to manage and clean. You know, a his and her sink is a lot. I just don't like it. It's too much. But I cope somehow.
Brent's our meet and greet. Well, yeah, we're tending the stream over here.
He's doing some meet and greet for us.
You can't keep him at a seat.
You can't. No, you can't. You wouldn't want to, would you?
No.
Definitely a PR
guy. Canadian's got to get around.
He's got to go. He's got to shake hands. Hey, Alex.
Howdy.
Ooh, it's a trade.
Hello.
Say howdy.
Are we trading you in for Brent?
I think so.
Nice. Here, he's got, you can steal his Ajimo right here.
How are we?
That's the technical term, Ajimo.
How are you doing?
Nice to see you again.
Yeah, it's unusual that we see you so soon. It's like we're gonna front load this year and then we won't see you again for a while.
It's true.
It's all right. So we're on. Technically, this is day one.
Almost day zero, right?
Yeah.
Do really. You zero index these things?
Yeah. How did the trip and all that stuff go?
Trip was good. I had the Vision Pro on in the plane.
Nice.
Oh,
I was that guy.
Yeah. Was it embarrassing?
I felt like a bit of a Burke, if I'm honest.
But you did it.
But I watched Mad Max Fury Road, which is like a 3D movie. I put myself on the moon, and probably about 20, 30 minutes in, I just forgot I was on a plane.
All right.
Wow.
God.
And then the guy's hand in front of my face saying, do you want some biscuits or something? I'm like, yes, please.
Isn't the headset sort of like a universal do not disturb sign?
Apparently not.
Like, they don't wake you up to ask if you want biscuits. They
no.
Just need a sign. Leave biscuits and coffee here. And
Just stick a sticky note on the front of it. You know, just write it down, stick it to the front. So
they need a little display that you can have text scrolling, you know?
What are you doing for audio, right? Because you're going to need something that's doing sound canceling, but you probably can't do over ears, can
AirPods.
You?
AirPods, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, AirPods, yeah, okay.
I have some AirPods. What do they call them? AirPods Pro?
Something like that, yeah.
AirPod Pros.
And they just pair right to it, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Just through your iCloud.
How did you get the media on the Vision Pro?
AirDrop. Some of it was downloaded last night.
And there's a player that just supports, like, playing...
Yeah, so there's one called Moon Player, which lets you import 3D content and all sorts of other stuff. It's a bit janky. Like, I had to reboot the headset a couple of times last night with MKV files to make it actually work. But it's like it's been out for 3 months, you know. So
was the experience what you were hoping for?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. That point where you forget you're on a plane and you're just watching people driving trucks through a desert. It's like, yeah, all right. I mean, because you're in this like fake cinema.
Yeah.
Okay, I was on the moon, but you know, like, there's nothing else in your peripheral vision.
Do you think you could fly longer because you're wearing that?
I think after a two or three hour movie, I'm probably in need of a break.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, an 8 hour flight, I could probably do two.
Right, and I just wonder, like, does it make the flight less exhausting if you kind of forget you're on a flight? Huh, that's cool.
Yeah. The lack of Wi-Fi was a bit disturbing, but...
Yeah.
For the headset, not for me, I mean. Oh. But when you pull it on the plane the first time, it goes, you're traveling, do you want me to turn into travel mode? Because it loses its mind with things moving past the window and stuff. I thought a plane would be a static enough environment it wouldn't care, but apparently
it knows.
Not.
It knows, yeah.
It's mapping everything.
Yeah, it really is. It's got the sensors in there. That's neat. That's neat that it worked.
And I rode a scooter when I got here.
Really?
My hotel's like two blocks that way. And they have these little lime scooters littering the pavement.
All over the place, yeah.
I just zoomed around past Terry Black's, and it's still there.
Did you have to install an app?
Yes. Yeah. It was like, the Uber was going to be $18, and my scooter fee was like $4.
Oh, nice. It'd be nice if it just did mobile payment, and you didn't have to get their app. Just NFC tap.
It was pretty seamless. I was often going in under probably 2 minutes. Mm.
Yeah, you could really get around that way. I mean, it's a very traversable city because they got big sidewalks for the most places. Although there's some serious holes in some of these sidewalks. Like, almost lost an ankle last night walking around in the dark.
Oh, well, it's a bit careless.
Yeah, oof. But we went to Terry Black's last night. I know. We're going to go again today.
I'm pleased with you right now.
And
so how was it? How was it?
It was good. Mine wasn't particularly hot. It was... It's not cold, but it was still very good. I think
you and I got the ends of a brisket, and then Brent got the fresh.
Brent got a fresh, well, beautiful looking brisket.
If anybody's going to get the fresh,
I was okay with that.
The vegetarian should obviously get dibs.
Right.
I'm going back for ribs today because I did just brisket.
Yeah. Is that what we're doing for lunch?
Yeah, I think so. If we can.
Good call.
Yeah. Wes wants to get himself some ribs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I saw someone at the table next to us just sort of having their face next to a giant beef rib, and it looked nice.
Oh, beef rib.
I thought you were going to say just their face buried in a big pile of beans.
Well, that happened afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was nice. And I'm glad we did it because Donald from Sinary, the owner of Sinary, took us out, and then he had to go home due to an emergency. So we landed and just went straight to Terry Black's. It just didn't even do the Airbnb. Just
great.
Straight
to Airbnb. That sounds perfect.
It'd be interesting to compare today because last night was packed.
Oh, we waited outside a while. It was quite busy.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
Elbow,
because when we came a few years ago, can you believe it's been 6 years?
Wow.
Can you believe it's been 6 years?
No, I do not believe that.
But apparently the word has gotten out about Terry Black's now. Yeah. There's other places because Terry Black's is now commercialized.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were getting it last night. You get it. You can hear people talking about, oh, yeah, there's better barbecue. Whatever.
It's still better than what I get.
Tell that to the line of people that are waiting an hour to get in.
Right.
It's clearly something working. What's that?
It's also walking distance. So.
Yes, it's right across from the event center.
To beat that.
Yeah, it is. Yes. So you have a talk today?
I am last thing tomorrow. I'm in the last
good.
Spot tomorrow.
So then
tomorrow.
We can eat big.
Closing out.
I was worried about food coma.
Today I'm just...
You're free to eat.
I'm festing today.
Good.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
I guess all the talks are upstairs. I haven't made it upstairs yet.
No. It's fun. Like, I've been here probably 10 minutes, and so far we've met 1, 2, 3, 4, like 7 or 8 listeners.
I've been here for about an hour. As far as I made it was this table.
Yeah.
We got here, and there's just empty table, and there's no logos or no nothing. And it's like, oh, we gotta get power. We were kind of expecting that to be ready. You know, that kind of
stuff. There was a lot to figure out.
Yeah, help us fix it. You see, Brent brought some sides from Terry Black's with him.
Oh, of course. Does he have his spork ready?
Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. Yeah.
All right. Well, Reddit thinks Franklin's brisket is both the best and the most consistent.
Apparently, someone was telling me that Franklin's proper is now cliche.
Uh-huh. Right?
But he's opened a place somewhere nearby that does Asian and brisket.
That sounds good.
What?
And he does the brisket there the same as he does it. So, like, if you're a local, you go
there.
I've just
given
it away. I've given the secret away.
Let's do it, though. We should do that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, because I can only do the Terry Black's line probably one more time. And then
I found it.
And then I'm lined out. Okay, save that. I do not queue well. And that was a serious queuing. My queue buffer has been eaten into, you know? It's no good.
I noticed we've got a couple of folks in the live chat.
Yeah.
Sending stuff in.
Exception.
Remaking Den from England. Hello, sir. How are you?
His first time catching a show, too.
Isn't that nice?
We must be doing it at a time where you can actually tune in, right?
Yeah, bright and early here and then.
Yeah.
Well, are we here? We must be plus 7?
5?
To England?
Oh, well, I'm
5 from the East Coast, so it must be 7 from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it is 5 p.m. over there right now.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Well, it probably means he's clocked off from work now, though. He's not skiving work anymore, so it's not fun, so stop listening.
Right, yeah. Now I got to go do chores at home.
I'm done. Oh, I was disappointed to hear that Discord has been kicking off Nintendo emulators with really vague emails. They're getting, like, these vague emails about IP violations and stuff like that. And essentially, Nintendo's been contacting Discord and saying, we want you to close down the server for these projects. Equivalent to a DMCA takedown, although I'm not so sure if it is a DMCA takedown.
Why are Nintendo so aggressive about everything? They're just an unpleasant company.
Yeah.
And you know me, of course, I'm using this emulator on my on my deck. It's for me, I own 3 Nintendo Switches, so it's not like they haven't gotten their money out of me. But I'm just sick and tired of swapping devices. And I'm sick and tired if a Switch dies, I lose everything because their digital downloads can't be transferred. So
it does make me wonder, like, how large is the actual overlap between people interested in Nintendo's products specifically, and then also sort of, like, has the skills and is willing to put up with, like, dealing with an emulator?
It's got
to
be a small community.
Yeah.
And it really takes a lot of work to make it actually work well, unless you have a pretty powerful computer. I mean, this you can just barely pull it off on the deck.
We were just talking to Casey List this week, you know, the Apple guy. And I saw a post from him saying that he ended up running his own Minecraft server for his kid because when he swapped out his Switch, he lost all his kid's progress.
Yeah.
The physical device broke or something.
Yep.
No.
That's the problem.
Horrible.
Mm-hmm. And they now are selling to you $60 digital downloads that you can't log in and put on another device.
Wait, really?
Did you activate it on my other device?
So what? Egregious.
It is absolutely ridiculous. They have the oldest online stuff. Like, their stuff, they're so old school. That's probably the key problem with Nintendo, really, is they're so old school.
I don't like them.
It's weak. These mics mounts where we bought them because they're supposed to be extra strong, they're extra weak.
Yeah.
Like, we specifically researched for, like, strong...
We've tried to find the one on Amazon we could find that would support the most weight.
Yeah, yeah. So you can see we've had to do these cockamamie...
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, better than nothing.
Somehow he's got it with Velcro, a rubber band, and some twine. He's got mine working. I don't even know how the Canadian came up with all that, but he did.
A passerby and audience member had to help us tweak some of the... Get things tightened down.
Yeah, because we didn't... Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I tell you what.
Tough little ship.
Oh.
Little.
Enterprise little. Boost from Anonymous, 1701 Sats, listening live from work. Love getting the bit of first experience. Yeah, I bet, Nido, it's hard to find events.
Come drive on over to Seattle.
Well, that's a drive. What we should do is like a meetup in Boise sometime or something.
That's a great idea. That could also be if we end up doing the JB Camp meetup thing. Somewhere in Idaho totally. Could work nicely.
Bitebitten comes in with 100 sats to say the Vision Pro has a setting to disable movement. Yeah, that must have been what you used, right?
Yeah. It asked me.
Does it?
As soon as I put the headset on the plane, it went, you are moving, sunshine. Do you want to put your headset into travel mode?
I guess you can do it by pulling down the control center, too?
Yeah, it's in control center.
Okay.
And then if you press and hold the two buttons on the top, as Byte's saying, you can bring up the slide. Do you remember on the old iPhone? Well, I suppose it's on the new one, too.
Slide to
turn off, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you can power it off that way, huh?
I hear there's lots of potatoes in Idaho.
Yeah, that's true.
Although, you know, Washington, we grow plenty of mighty fine potatoes as well.
I have a funny...
You don't get the meme, but it's there.
In my family, Idaho is known for its chicken, even though it's the same chicken as everywhere.
Does it taste like chicken?
On a road trip, when Dylan was really young...
I guess it would.
We were trying to convince him to try chicken strips. And, I don't like chicken strips, Dad. I don't like chicken strips. Well, Dylan, see, those are Washington chicken strips.
Who doesn't like chicken strips? That's like saying I don't like air.
It's also such a kid-friendly food.
I know. That's how I knew he was wrong, so I felt totally comfortable lying to him. I said, Dylan, Idaho chicken is better than Washington chicken. You might like the Idaho chicken. And so we stopped at a restaurant, and he ordered chicken strips, and he loved it. So now Idaho and our family's known for having the best chicken.
The lies we tell children.
Idaho chicken, Dad. Let's get some Idaho chicken.
I'm trying to think what lies I've told Ella. I'm sure I've done some.
Are you going to do the Santa Claus one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much
fun. We already did.
Yeah, well, there you
go. Yeah, we already
there
have.
You
go. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I hesitated at first because I'm not going to lie to them about anything, but it's so, like, they love it. They just love it. So you don't want to deprive them of that. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Welcome to the booth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you listen at, like, 1.3 and then you meet us in person.
We'll go fast.
We record at 0.8, you see, that's why. There you go. That's
what speed do you listen at?
Usually it's variable, so it's between 1.2 and 1.5.
Yeah.
Oh, up to 1.5.
1.5 can get... Don't we sound really high strung?
Do you want to come on mic for a few minutes?
No.
Okay.
All right, very good. I always feel like when I listen to a podcast at 1.5 or above, I always feel like the hosts are really stressed out.
Right, yeah.
I feel bad for him.
I feel stressed out.
Yeah, it gets me stressed out.
There's a natural rhythm to speech, and there's a gap.
Yeah.
And it's if it's all gone, like, you get these AI editing tools that want to clip out all of the silence and, like...
Yep.
I genuinely hate this trend in content these days that is so much about retention. It's called retention-based editing.
Yeah. Cut.
Where if you give the person even a quarter of a second for their brain to wander somewhere else, apparently they're gone. And I'm like, well...
And Mr. Beast videos are such a great example of that.
Do I want that person watching my how-to explainer anyway?
Right,
like,
I'm
just not my target audience.
I know.
Like, they only want to watch because I've kept them hooked.
Yeah.
Not with the quality of my content.
Torso19 came in with 100 sats.
There's coffee in that nebula.
Ooh. Little coffee boost because it's the morning.
I think there's coffee on the far side of the
building. Yeah, we need it.
Building here, yeah.
Anonymous comes back. I'm in the north of Idaho. So Boise's further than Linux Fest. Well,
whoa.
Although they do have good potatoes.
true.
I am programmed in multiple techniques.
So what about Spokane? Because we've been
wanting to do a Spokane.
Yeah, I've done one a long time ago, and I would like to do it again. There's
that
good
Brent's
there.
Local American town right there.
Yeah, up there. Yeah, I think it wouldn't be too bad for Brent to make it either. There's some good breweries it's known for. So
I think Spokane's just about as close as Calgary is for him.
Really?
Yeah. Obviously, he has to do the border dance, but apart from that.
Right.
Yeah. But it'd save him a large, like, 6 hours of the drive, which is Washington. It's so freaking long. So long. I'm taking notes for our trip today, so I'll have little anecdotes to share, things like that.
What have you got so far?
Nothing for today.
Good start.
I'll write it down later. But yesterday, you know, like trips about the flight.
Right.
Things like that. It's trip, flight details, drink details, those kinds of things. Just little anecdotes. Stupid things Brent does, you know.
I mean.
They're rare. You really got to capture them.
Oh, yeah.
Brent doesn't do stupid things so much as Brent just does Brent things.
Yeah, I know.
They're all stupid.
No, they're unique. They're uniquely Brent.
I tease. Hello, Keith.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Welcome to the booth.
Thank you. I just got found your guys' web podcast in the last like couple months.
Oh, wow.
Cool. I've really gotten into it. It's really
good.
Great.
Thank you. So, Linux Unplugged listener then?
What's that?
Linux Unplugged? Is that what you're listening to?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you. What do you think of the Texas Linux Fest?
It's interesting. I'm used to the kind of the bigger conferences, you know, like the Microsoft Professional Developers.
Yeah. I don't know if we got a sense of how many people are here yet.
Yeah. It's smaller.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of nicer.
Exactly.
I went to a Wireshark conference. It was kind of small also.
A Wireshark conference, huh?
Yeah.
That sounds neat.
Was that like a couple hundred people?
Yeah, it was very small.
Those seem nice if you can, you know, especially if you can kind of go back every couple of years so that you end up running into the folks. You can really actually make friends and then see them again.
Yeah, I've been to two. I was one in like 2016 and then one last June.
You're making me sad. I haven't had occasion to use Wireshark recently, but it's such a great tool.
I use it all the time.
Do you? For the course of your work? Or?
Yes.
What are you doing?
I work for Honeywell Space and Defense.
Neat.
We do...
And they're Wiresharking.
Oh, yeah. We use it to look at all our protocols that we use for communications. So, you know, background is that Honeywell makes all the computers that run the space station. They're basically called MDMs.
Okay.
And they're just it's a generic computer, specialized but generic. And then I'm the software lead of this other program. It's called MATE, which is an MDM application test environment. And basically it's a real-time system that allows Boeing to basically test all their software before they ship it up on station. So you don't, let's say, I use an example, is that, you know, you're the guy writing the solar array software. No, you don't have a solar array to attach to. How do you test that thing? So our system allows them to write a simulation to throw whatever curveballs they want to throw at it and make it, you know, test their software on the ground.
And part of that is watching what it's doing on the network?
Well, part of that is that we have all these different protocols that we use for communications, and then sometimes something doesn't work. And you don't know why it's not working. And we look at what the Wireshark is, you know, giving us to see, you know, hey, did something get lost? Something, you know. So this is one of the things.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture, is it an Ethernet network? So it must be all TCP/IP traffic then?
Yeah, that's from the... So that when you look at we have two systems. One's called a vertical mate. So one of it is, the vertical mate is, one part of it is a VXWorks multi-card real-time platform system. They have different cards in there, processor cards that do different things. One's command, like command and control, one's like doing data logging.
Are they all like separate independent computers essentially?
Yeah, they're all separate independent processors that communicate
with their own OSs? And
yeah, well, they all run VxWorks.
Okay.
And then they have a whole stack of 1553 cards, if you ever heard of those. It's a mill standard communications bus.
Okay.
So we have that, and then we have a Windows PC just above it that has like the user interface, so people can look at their simulations and logs data and stuff like that. That's like a vertical mate, and then that's for like a developer writing their software, testing it, and then they have a big system. They call it the rigs. They have multiple of these RTLPs connected together to kind of make it look like the space station on the ground. So.
Oh, sure, so they can replicate what it's going to be like up in production.
That's correct. And so they run all these simulations on the ground to test everything, test all the software, and then they decide once that's good to go, that they'll ship it up to station for like an upgrade.
I mean, wow. Tests are important all the time, but this sounds like especially the kind of thing you want to get it right the first time.
You don't want to hear something went wrong when it gets up there.
Yes, because there's not much you can do up there when something goes wrong.
Can they send it back? Is that a possibility?
Return to sender.
What do you guys have in the way of like hardware redundancy?
Hardware redundancy?
Yeah, like two entire computers, I imagine.
Well, like on station, every computer is a separate entity of its own that does one thing. So they have one computer that does, like, the airlock. That's it.
What happens if the power supply goes out for that computer, then?
I think they do have, like, hot spares, and then they do have spares they can just, pull a thing and put a new one in.
Are they, like, standardized widgets? You know, like, I've got a power supply, and this is the standard ISS power supply. That'd be too sensible for a government contract, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the NDMs are not, like, on my realm of expertise to tell you, but they do have like data redundancy as far as like communications. That's where that 1553 bus comes in. They have an A bus and a B bus, so if something happens on one, it'll automatically switch over to
there. You go.
So are we talking though like hundreds of computers on the ISS? Are we talking dozens?
If I remember right, don't quote me, I think there's like 44 of these.
And is it somebody's job up there to be like the ISS IT person?
I think it's that, the ground control handles all that. And if they need an astronaut to go pull a box, they
just
will.
Give them instructions to.
Yep. They have written instructions on how to do all that. The internal ones are fun. The external ones are not so fun. Maybe they have to go out.
There are sometimes times they have to go outside.
Oh, but I think they've only had to do one.
For a computer failure, though.
Yeah, for the entire time that it's been up there.
That's nice to hear. Just as like it's computer people. I would imagine and hope that like, physical stuff or pumps or interlock or other things would fail more often than the computers. But given how computers work, you could see it going the other way, too.
They do have some testing software that Honeywell provides, so they can actually put the box on there and run test suite, and they have spares so they can take, let's say if this one piece did fail, they can put a new part in, put it back up on the shelf, and if they ever need it, they can just yank it out, put it back in.
How are these getting, manufactured in the States, these machines? Are they manufactured around the world? Like,
no, these are all manufactured at Honeywell but we do, there are equipment in Russia and in Italy also.
I guess I knew Honeywell was involved, but I guess I just didn't understand the depth.
Yeah.
It's not what I picture when I think of Honeywell.
Right.
But it's very cool.
Honeywell does a lot of things.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's what I'm learning here.
Well, at my facility, it's that they do reaction wheels and gyros for satellites and let's see what else they do. We do all kinds of things.
Do you get to use much Linux in the course of your work?
We do have a MDM test thing. They do use Red Hat. We use a lot of the horizontal mates use Solaris. It's not Linux, but it is
still
Linux.
Yeah, still today, huh? Still some Solaris action.
We do use some of the like Cygwin products.
Oh yeah, sure.
So I mean, we don't use Linux per se on some of our stuff, but you know, kind of
some of the open source world's tools at least.
Yeah, I mean,
it just seems. I mean, I guess are they updating the systems up there in space? Are they installing patches and updates?
Yes, they do.
And they have an internet connection that they can just...
They have multiple different connections. They do have internet. They have some other ways, like SATCOM type of communications that they...
And they're doing, like, Windows updates?
No.
I wouldn't think so. Right? I just can't imagine running Windows in space and keeping it up to date.
They do have laptops. They do have laptops that do have Windows on it.
And they update those?
I think if they have to do it, they send it up as an image on a disk or something at a next flight, and they just like ghost the whole thing. And that's it.
A known, validated, tested image.
I guess that makes sense.
Well, it was interesting because it was like, you know, how do you activate Windows from space? You know, so when we originally did some of this stuff, we actually had to get, you know, Microsoft to say, okay, we'll not have you do activations and stuff like that.
They give you like a secret code you could put in there to bypass
activation. I don't remember what they gave
it. Yeah. It's like, well, we'll take care of it for these machines. That seems like an appropriate use case to bypass activation.
Yeah.
It's nice to have the ability to call up Microsoft and ask for that.
Yeah.
I don't think we could do that.
No, probably not.
We're going to be on a road trip. We'd really like not to activate Windows for a bit. I don't think we'd get very far.
Well, I'm not sure what the legalities of being in outer space are either.
Right. Yeah. If you agree to a EULA in space.
Right. I don't think your trademark applies here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's pretty neat. And Wireshark helps make all that go.
Yeah, well, that's like I said, it's just another tool in our tool bag that we use for trying to diagnose issues that happen.
Pretty cool, though. It's
just... We have a 1553 analyzer that looks all 1553 traffic. We have a SCSI analyzer, because there is some SCSI.
Still, huh?
Yeah, on some of our ground equipment.
So. Really? For disk or what?
I remember this stuff was originally built in probably 95 or earlier.
Yeah.
And so some of the stuff for communications was still using SCSI back then. So we still haven't, it's still there.
SCSI disks, SCSI accessories. I mean, as long as you get everything right, get your numbers, get your SCSI number right, get your terminator set up, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I mean, one of the MDMs used to have a rotating, you know, hard drive, and they have solid state, and they're all basically SCSI based.
You can buy solid state SCSI devices?
No, Honeywell made it.
Oh, okay. Dang, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I don't think we can do that either.
All right, we'll bang it together, yeah.
Yeah, they made their own solid state drive.
Bcache FS on a solid state SCSI. I want
to
try it.
You're telling me for them, it was easier to create their own device than just get off SCSI?
Well, because it's, you got to remember, all the stuff that they put in these MDMs have to be rad hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're basically... The newest computer processor we use is like an old Pentium.
Wow.
And then that's the newest one. The other ones are like 386s because they are rad hard. They're not going to get flip bits or anything.
What have they done to them to make them hardened? Are they?
I'm not sure what they've done.
And why can't they make them newer? Like,
Well, I remember when we were talking with Tim.
Yeah. You know,
he was saying the same, right? Like, weren't they using an old Motorola or something?
Yep. Yep, an old Power PC.
Oh,
yeah.
Power PC.
Yeah, but I think it was made by Motorola.
Well, I think it's because the newer chips have higher densities. So yeah. There's more chance of an error. Yeah, more chance of an error. And I think they do have newer processors. It's just the cost of getting it tested.
If I go to space, I don't want to bring an old computer. I want a nice computer.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think all the newer stuff are using newer rad hard stuff.
Can we get like an Apple M series that's rad hardened?
Yeah, yeah. Can I bring like a Ryzen machine too? Can we get hardened Ryzen? Rad hardened Ryzen. That just sounds cool.
Yeah.
So what are you hoping to pick up from the fest? Anything for work or just here in general?
I'm here personally for myself.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out what I could say here, company that I can charge or something. But actually, I'm going from here down to Houston to do some work at the Space Center.
Oh, yeah?
So I had to drive to Houston on Sunday. So.
Was that a six-hour drive, or what is that for?
I think it's like 5 hours.
5 hours?
Well, I had to go down to San Antonio first.
Oh, it's a little bit longer.
You're making all the stops.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing a road trip. Meanwhile, we're flying around. You're supposed to be doing the road trip.
Well, I was out here originally for the solar eclipse. But, oh, yeah, good. It was mostly overcast. We did get to see the totality
for a
bit, little bit. But
that's good.
But it wasn't a total bust.
What a tease.
I know. I think I would have been pretty disappointed if I had come down here a week early for that and not seen it.
Yeah.
That would have been a little rough.
Although just with all the logistics and all this, you know, what you had to do to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, I guess, in Lubbock, they had clear skies.
Yeah.
So I heard it was really
nice. Yeah, Dallas, too, I think.
Yeah.
Yep, Dallas, too, so, but it was kind of a little late to
what are you gonna
get
do?
That last road trip.
Yeah, yeah. 6 hours for, like, maybe less clouds. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So the Space Center, huh?
Yep. Actually, we are north of the Space Center. It's called Sunny Carter. It's not in, Johnson. It's part of Johnson, but it's up
Johnson
where,
adjacent.
Yeah, it's up where our facility is right next to where they. If you've ever seen some of the movies where they show the astronauts in the big pool.
Oh yeah.
So the facility we work with is right next to that. So
you don't get to go swimming in the big pool, do you?
No, but we can go look at it.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah, so are you normally? So you're normally not based out of there?
No, I'm based out of Arizona.
Oh,
okay. Oh, so you're down here, and there's really two birds. Well, sounds like three birds with one stone.
Three birds with one stone.
That's a very efficient trip. Well, and then it's okay if the fest isn't fantastic, because it's one of many things. I mean, not that it's not a good fest.
Yeah. Of course.
But it's rough.
One thing I saw so far is a WebAssembly might look interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a WebAssembly talk. Alex has a talk tomorrow. And there's a couple on there. I mean, today's mostly Kubernetes.
Yeah.
Not my cup of tea, so.
AI and some of the AI stuff is, I've been looking at to see if it could help us with some of our stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Interesting. Like data analysis or?
A lot of our stuff is, we had to review our code, a lot. I mean, it goes through multiple reviews, and it'd be interesting to see if we could come up with a system that we could,
help review?
Help review.
Yeah.
It'd have to be local. We can't put it up on a server or anything, up on, cloud.
You're not doing OpenAI's API or anything.
Yeah, can't do any of that. So. Yeah. It'd be interesting if we could create some kind of like code reviewer just to kind of spit out some stuff that says, that doesn't look right.
Yeah, just something that's always kind of watching as people check in or whatever and just sort of finding stuff. Yeah, locally, I think that's going to be huge for enterprises. I think that's going to be somebody that comes along and just says, here's a package, put it in here, and we'll start watching all this for you. They're going to make so much money.
That's what I'm looking to see, to see if we can add that to our...
Anything's brewing.
Add that to our repertoire of, help back at where we were.
Ideally, somebody will take something like Llama or something like that that's available
Llama?
Something.
Yeah.
Are there others you're looking at?
There was a new one that just came out not too long ago. I can't remember the name of it, but it's supposed to be really good. The guy I watch on YouTube, I guess he asked it to write the game Snake. And this is the only one that's ever been able to do it on the first try without any adding, I know you did this wrong, go back and rewrite it and stuff. But that one might be interesting to see if I can download. I use this thing called LM Studio.
Yeah, right. LM Studio is great.
Yeah, it's easy. You just download it, spin it up, and
it ties right in with Hugging Face. And,
ties right in with Hugging Face,
That is my preferred way of trying them out, too.
It's pretty, as much as the tech has changed, that area has been maybe some of the more rapid iterations, actually making the stuff accessible and not, what kind of format do I need, and where do I get the model, and where do I put it? What is CUDA? Yeah.
Do I have what?
Uh-huh.
No.
They still have a lot of work to do, because I've asked one to say, okay, write me a snippet of code for VxWorks 5.4 to do this particular thing. And it gave me this little snippet of code. I went to compile it, got the error, went back and said, I got this error. And they're like, I'm sorry, that doesn't work with 5.4. And it's like, I asked you for 5.4.
What do you think I got?
Did you figure that out for me? I thought that was the whole idea.
So they still have a lot of work to do, I think, before it's...
It's going to probably be a couple of years at least.
Yeah, at least.
I wonder how much we'll be, using multiple and sort of weighing... I wonder how much we'll be using like multiple agents and, you know, using them against each other. It's sort of like, oh yeah, well this one assessed the code, and then when this one assesses the assessment of the code or fact checks it, you know, because like some they do a good job, especially if like
stack
explain them. This little snippet of code sometimes, yeah. But you always got to watch out for those hallucinations where, you know, it's just gonna add in something random.
Yeah, you need another one that's fresh, that's checking it.
Well, I saw this one guy was like, he designing a thing where he's like, here are these books on programming. I only want you to give me answers that came out of these books.
Oh.
Don't go make things up. Don't go to the internet. I just want to know.
What are they saying these books?
Here's like, you know, 20 books on Lisp or something. I think that's what he was doing was Lisp. And it's like, I just want you to give me answers from these books and nothing else. And I think that's a perfect. You know,
I agree. A similar one I saw was a demo of telling Gemini to only answer from this YouTube channel. Like, I only want to know what this YouTube channel said about this topic. That kind of stuff would be really interesting if you could point it at a particular source. Yeah, and confine it to that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And just give me the JB take on this. I don't want any crazy.
Yeah.
Or I only want craziness. I don't know.
We have, what do we have going on over here? We have people stacking up over here.
Yeah, there's a whole crowd over there, and they're really interesting folks. I had someone say, "Hey, are you the map guy?"
That was me.
That's Wes. Wes is the map guy. Did you bring your map?
No, I think in my back pocket.
Pocket map? Yeah, the pocket. It's not the big one that we use in the studio.
No, but. Well, that doesn't.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's almost as big as you are.
Yeah, he's good with that map, isn't he?
Do you have a...
Yeah, I mean, if you want to bust it out, do you want to...
We got to locate where we are now, right?
Yeah. Okay, there you go. There you go. Figure it out.
Oh, it is big. I have never seen it in person, but...
I know.
Jeez.
I know. I like that he has, like, little silver tassels on it for the travel one. The big one doesn't have this. The studio one doesn't have that.
And I don't quite know why you do this, Wes, but it's, like, folded in origami? It's a swan when it's in your pocket?
How he doesn't crush it. It is truly a feat. Yeah. That probably is why he's always sitting so weird.
And why it takes him so long to
fold
the freaking thing.
Yeah. And that is an origami in his pocket. Yeah.
I think if we were going to do a zip code boost, it'd be something like 78746.
Okay. Okay. So we're in the 78.
No, I'm one off.
Oh, that's embarrassing. We were just talking about how good your
off
map skills are.
By one error, right?
Oh, no, Wes.
Well, I'm only on the receiving end, you know? How am I supposed to? How am I supposed to know how to send a zip code boost?
Oh yeah, right.
Let's check out the Terry Black zip code. That'll help.
Yeah, put us in the location of Terry Black's.
78704.
78 what?
78704. So you know, if you don't have a zip code to boost in, you can use that as an Austin proxy zip code boost.
Make it so.
I like that.
I discovered a privacy loophole on our badges. So if you QR scan the little QR scanner that's on there, it gives...
Okay, boy, that's a dense QR code, too.
It gives... Phones are amazing. It gives away all your private information that you put in there.
Yeah.
So, my 90210 zip code is... Everybody can just scan it right off my badge.
Scale did the same thing.
Yeah.
It's becoming more and more common.
I don't like it.
I know. It makes me wonder if we should put fake names in, but we're fairly public, but if I wasn't, I don't like it.
Well, but there's information we gave that isn't public. Like my zip code.
Is your phone number in there? That'd be the one I'd be the most worried about.
I didn't put my phone number, but it was also a very long string that I didn't check. So you might... everybody's scanning their... we have duct tape if you want to just like...
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah, just bring a little Sharpie in.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It put my number. My phone number's in there.
It's not good.
I put a number in there that wouldn't be the worst if it went public.
Well, I mean, you could just like... mask it with like a marker or a pen or something, but
I really don't like the idea of my phone number.
No, I know. I was surprised because someone at the other booth, we were like, oh, how do I get your contact info? I was like, I don't know, there's a QR code here, that'd be pretty sweet. But I was like, wait, I don't want to give you all of this.
Yeah, that's where it's like, I imagine that's some of the motivation, right? It's like, so like you can scan the thing at the booth and you can collect it really easily.
Yeah,
which is all fine, but just be really upfront that what you put in here, here's a private section, here's what's going to go in your bag.
That'd be sweet.
Hmm.
Because a quick way to make connections is great, but like that is not my intention. And people are just walking around with their phones and stuff. So anyways, heads up.
I shouldn't have put my social security number as my telephone number.
Yeah. I put my bank ATM pin for some reason. I just... Yeah. Well, I don't even know why I let that in the field. It was should have air checked that. I don't know. Dang. So I don't think Scale did the phone number, but they did do the email address and the zip code.
Yeah. Womp womp.
Getting, you know, it's funny because was it the drive over here or was it yesterday we were talking about signing up with pseudonyms and...
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, it was the drive over here. You just really wouldn't think it's necessary, but we recently heard a story of every attendee at an event getting their information subpoenaed and including, like, their public and private details if they attended the event. So then you start thinking about that, and they got all this in a database. Yeah, I don't love it.
I would imagine that's part of the reason why Linux Fest Northwest doesn't do registration.
We do not do registration.
It's not mandatory.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
It is nice. It is. It does make it harder for a lot of things, like how many people showed up.
Fair enough.
How much swag do we need? Like, it is harder from that perspective, but we don't. I mean, you know, we don't really care that much. It's
well. Hopefully, you don't have AT&T because I guess they just had a big thing.
Yeah, I know. I am an AT&T customer.
Oh, like, even if you still weren't.
Yeah.
If you were at any point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had, like, social security numbers and dates.
Oh, yeah.
And
this is the second time, at least. I think, yeah. I should just get a whole new identity.
Is that easy?
If it is, I'll keep the fingerprints and all that
well,
kind
those
of stuff.
Are harder to replace.
Yeah.
True.
For now. You know, give us time. Maybe we can print some new ones.
I've got a clone out there putting my fingerprints, like, just
good
everywhere.
Thinking.
So you then
guys,
there's
you guys
plausible
have,
deniability. Right?
So twins have the same fingerprints.
Yeah.
Which just totally breaks my brain. I thought like, you know, maybe just like the way the hands formed or something would be different.
I think if right. you get injuries and stuff, that'll change things, obviously. But, yeah.
Can you believe that, twins?
Yeah.
Well, I have the same recipe book as some other human in the world, you know?
It's still weird, man. It's still real weird.
And you, like, haven't met him yet, so you can't actually confirm whether or not, you know.
I think I'd be able to tell.
You know, what I have experienced is that if people meet him
first,
out of context, and also not with me, like, if we're together, you'll tell the difference right away. But if you met him, like, you traveled to New York and you ran into him, I think you'd actually be surprised for a couple minutes.
That would make sense. Yeah, I probably, you know, in that environment, I'd just be like, whoa, is that Brent? Brent, come on! And then, oh, no.
Unfortunately, it means that I meet a ton of people in my hometown because he's been living there a lot longer than I have. Like at the grocery store, I'm just trying to get like kombucha or something. And
they want to talk
and
to you.
Like, oh, hey, Aaron, how's it going? And
my
I'm
problem
like,
is I'd be coming up clenching. I'd be clenching the wrong, hey, buddy, boom, boom.
Well, that's one way to make friends.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah, we're going. Yeah, we're live. It's fine. Yeah, we're going to Terry Black.
Someone just came up to our booth.
It's almost lunchtime, isn't it?
It's close enough.
We got 15 minutes. Yeah, we should probably get in the go mode for lunch.
In a very sweet way, someone just came up to our booth and was silent, but on their phone had like this scrolling ticker tape of like, do you want to go to the barbecue place?
Yeah, he just said, no, it was just Terry Black's question mark is what it was.
Very thoughtful.
Hey, what app is that?
I don't know.
Cool
really
app.
Handy.
I want it.
Yeah, that was a good app. That was very...
Wow.
Yeah.
That was really thought out.
You could stick that in the window of the car, too. Like, you know, hey, I'm just new and I'm dumb. I don't know where I'm going.
We could use that as our on-air sign.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
I wonder if they have it for the
recording.
iPad. Put it on the
come
iPad.
Come back.
Could you just stand here holding your phone?
Be our sign.
Yeah. Please. We do need that. We'd have no logos, no swag. When we leave, how is anybody going to... And what do we do with all our gear when we leave?
Oh. We don't have to set it all up again, do we?
I mean, we could put away the laptops and the mixer, I guess, but leave the microphones, and if somebody takes them...
Well, we'll just get the B crew to come in and...
Yeah, keep the stream hot. Keep it going for us.
Yep.
We don't really know...
bring everything. We set up at Terry Black.
We don't really know if we're going live again, though, today. So, we could pack it up.
Okay.
Because we're going to... I mean, I know it's hard to admit that because it was a total scramble to get it all set up.
I think we've got it figured out now. The second time should be...
Yeah. We could maybe leave the mic mounts where they're at.
Ah.
You know, so we don't touch that.
Now you're talking.
We could even leave the microphones, I suppose.
No.
I mean, it's not the worst thing. These things are old. If somebody walked away with them, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Mine rolled off the chair and then landed on the concrete. Ugh, and
still working.
I don't see any dings or anything. This thing's bulletproof.
You could probably bludgeon a person to death with these microphones.
Oh, yeah.
These are some serious, like, World War II microphones.
The biggest problem we had setting up for this event is that we couldn't find stands that would hold the weight of these microphones.
Yeah. We bought these stands. These because we read that these had the highest weight capacity. They do not. They do not. Especially not in bendy mode. Maybe in fully erect mode, but not in bendy mode. Definitely not. All right, we're going to wrap up, I think, here in a couple of minutes. The plan is to be live again tomorrow. So you will be able to tune in. We'll be doing this, and probably even a more extended stream. I don't know, because tomorrow's really the really heavy...
The main Linux day.
Yeah, the one that's really going to be...
If we're honest, what we're here for.
And tomorrow, because we didn't get a chance to do it today, tomorrow, I suppose, maybe we can play around with it tonight, I would love to try to do a remote broadcast. You know, try because we brought the gear. I've actually got Sonobus running on the machine right now, so we could dial it up and all that. It would work. In theory, we tested it. We can even control the volume of the microphone in Sonobus.
That is fun.
What I want to figure out is if we can have this all hooked up to the microphone and broadcasting and then close it all up so it's closed like this, and then you could just walk around with it basically like...
Because what I did at NextCon was like embarrassing. No, yeah. And I had... cables. I need an extension cable. I was like dragging my cables.
Wasn't there Jeff walking behind you?
No, he was sitting in the talk. It wasn't fair.
He's like, all right, you got it.
Yeah.
This should be just a USB cable out the butt into a microphone, and that should be the extent of
sweet.
Yeah. And then I'm hoping we can just fold it up and either use the built-in LTE or use the built-in Wi-Fi.
And are you using that new audio interface?
Yeah.
For this?
Yeah.
Wow, that's slick. It works.
And then we can control the volume and. Okay. I'm happy. I mean, it's not 100%, but it's good.
Nice.
So tomorrow, we'll try to do a little on location and get a sense of what it's like. Maybe each one of us can run out or something. We'll figure that out. So that'll be coming up on tomorrow's stream, as well as, of course, having more friends. We got a whole group of people here. They're looking real hungry, though.
Yeah, they're congregating, waiting on us.
It's a whole lot of people looking real hungry.
Don't let them get the moose meat.
Yeah, that'd be embarrassing. We are going to be the line. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. We are going to be the line. Look at this. Uh-oh. All right. That's cool. We're bringing our own line to Terry Black's. So join us tomorrow. We'll get a pending item in the live stream so you can know where it is when we wrap up here in a little bit. You'll see a pending one show up shortly after that, hopefully. And it'll be day two of Texas Linux Fest. Yeah? How are we feeling?
Yeah, that sounds great. Oh, I got hungry all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, thank you everyone who showed up. I think we surprised some folks with being online at an unusual time, and that's the whole point of the lit stream stuff.
Yeah, you can kind of just catch it. If you got a Podcasting 2.0 app, it'll just show up when we're pending, and you can just join us. You don't have to worry about the schedule. It'll be in your local time and everything like that, and you'll see it for the next stream coming up for tomorrow. So day one, I'm going to say, went pretty good. We'll have more to cover tomorrow, but thank you, everybody, for being here. I hope you get a great meal in, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go have lunch.
And thank you to our boosters. Appreciate that as well. You guys are really the best. Thanks for a little value. We earned. How many sats did we stack for this live stream? We earned those 25,000 sats.
Nice.
We scrambled and we earned them. So thank you, everybody.
Thanks to the map guy, too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Definitely the map guy.
Es el grito del guerrero para siempre conquistar. Así nació el